So today is Family Sunday, which means that the children in preschool and down to birth are in the nursery, but the children from kindergarten through sixth grade are in here this morning with us. And so for all the children, if you have not received one of these yellow packets, there are some in the back. You can grab those now. There are some for kindergarten through second grade, as well as for third grade through sixth grade. And so for everyone, that's there for the children. And for everyone, I invite you to open a Bible if you have one with you, or a phone, or whatever it may be, to the book of Matthew. Matthew is the first book of the New Testament. To Matthew chapter 6. We're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 24 this morning. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 24. This is Jesus speaking in his most well-known sermon, the Sermon on the Mount. And he covered many things, from the law to everyday life to prayer to what we trust in to how we build our lives upon Christ and upon his teaching. And today we look at treasures in heaven. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 24, Jesus said this: "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and serve the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." May the Lord add his blessing this morning to the reading of his written word. When I was young, my aunt said that she always knew that I was going to be a preacher. She said she knew it from the time I was 3 or 4 or 5 years old, because often we would, all my dad's side of the family, we would gather at my dad's parents' church, my grandparents' church, and we would have, you know, family get-togethers, but everyone would go to my grandparents' church first for Sunday morning worship. And at the end of the service, when everybody had left, I would gather my whole family, my aunts, my uncles, my cousins, my grandparents, and I'd sit them all down in the front couple rows, and I would conduct a church service. And so a church service for me usually included a singing of a hymn or two. So we'd get out the hymn books and I'd pull out a number. I wasn't even able to read very well or even at all, so I'd just pull out some obscure number and everyone would stumble along on singing this hymn while I did all this stuff. And then after that, I would preach a sermon. And my sermon would consist of this: over and over and over, I would grab a Bible and I would pace back and forth yelling, "The Lord God, the Lord God, the Lord God." Apparently, the pastor of the church that I grew up in at that time said "the Lord God" a lot, and so I thought that's what preachers said. That was my sermon. But the last and most important thing of the sermons was the offering. And I would grab the offering plates and I would send them down the rows. I don't ever remember making any money out of this or anything, but I would always collect an offering, because that's what preachers do, right? They lead some singing, they preach a message where they yell "the Lord God" over and over, and they collect an offering. Now, unfortunately, preachers are often equated with, and many people will say, churches are always asking for money. And you may wonder why churches talk about money a lot. Because many people think that that's all that churches and pastors want to talk about. Why? Well, it often surprises people when they discover just how much the Bible talks about money. Did you know that there are more than 2,300 verses in the Bible that talk about money, wealth, or possessions? Jesus spoke about money roughly 15% of his sermons. And 11 of his 39 parables were about money, wealth, or possessions. So if Jesus and the Bible thought that money was an important thing to talk about, then to be able to teach and to preach the whole counsel of God, we need to still talk about money. And especially as we finish up this series today on being missions-minded, we must talk about the issue of money because the mission of God is funded by the people of God using God's money to fund his mission. All of what we have financially, possession-wise, wealth-wise, ultimately belongs to the Lord. And we are given it to be able to take care of it, to be able to fund his work here on this earth so that his kingdom might come and his will might be done here on this earth as it is in heaven. And so this morning, as we talk about money, our focus of money and possessions is to use them for the building of the kingdom on earth and the storing up of our treasures in heaven. In your sermon, in your bulletin, our sermon notes, and we're going to talk today about storing up our treasures in heaven. Three thoughts. First, we have to decide who we will trust. See, the issue of money is not simply about giving. It's first an issue of trust. See, I want you to hear more than anything that money is a heart issue. It's not a dollars and cents issue. Money starts first as a heart issue. And it ultimately shows us and is about who we will trust first. Jesus ends this teaching on treasures in heaven in verse 24 with his main point. And so I'm going to start with his main point and work backwards. Verse 24 says, "No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." At the end, Jesus says, "You cannot serve both God and money." Now, the original hearers in some translations will not have the word money there. It will be God and mammon. And mammon means wealth and was closely associated with the original hearers at that time with the god Mammon, who was worshipped by the people of Carthage, which is modern-day Tunisia. And so Jesus is saying you cannot serve both God and money or wealth or even this god that is linked to wealth, Mammon. These hearers would have understood Jesus to have been saying, are you serving God? Or are you serving mammon? In other words, who will you entrust yourself to for your care and your provision? Because who you will entrust yourself to for your care and your provision is who you will serve. You cannot serve two masters. So let's talk about this issue of trust or entrusting for a moment, because we serve whatever we trust. The thing we put our trust in is what we will serve or who we will serve. So let's talk about trust. When we talk about trust in this area of storing up treasures in heaven, when we talk about trust in the area of God versus money or God versus mammon, we trust that which we will have our needs met by. So who do you trust in to meet your basic needs, such as food, such as shelter, such as clothing, and such as even the bigger stuff, the stuff that we want that isn't even our basic needs? Who do you trust in? Do you trust in God to provide those things, or do you trust in wealth or money? Who do you trust in to bring you happiness? Who do you trust in to make you satisfied in life? Is it God? Or is it money or stuff? Do you look to God as the one who makes you happy and satisfies all your wants and needs and desires at a heart or soul level? Or do you look for money or stuff to be able to satisfy those deep longings, those deep desires that we all have that need to be met by something or someone? Who do you trust to make you happy? And lastly, who do you trust to give you value? Who do you trust to give you value? Is it God? How we feel about ourselves? Is it God and what he says about us and who he has made to be in Christ? Or is it money or wealth or possessions that will allow us to feel valuable? Because if it's money or wealth or stuff that gives us our value, then if we have a lot, we feel value. If we don't have a lot, we don't feel that valuable. If we have a lot, but somebody next door has more, then we may feel more valuable than that person, but we still don't feel value compared to that person because they have more. If we place our value in stuff, then we will always be looking to have more because we will never have enough in all areas, in our needs being met, in our happiness, and in our value, how we feel about ourselves. Jesus says that it is impossible to serve both. Either God or money, we have to choose. So for a moment, I need preferably a child. One of the kids from Children's Church that are normally down there but here for Family Sunday, for a volunteer. And the reason I'm asking for a child is that children can sometimes fall and not get hurt. So we'll just give that out there, okay? Anybody want to? Anybody want to? All right, Nolan. All right, come on up, Nolan. Welcome. Welcome to the front. All right. How you doing? Good. All right, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to turn these two chairs this way. Now, here's the thing. The whole premise behind a chair is it holds your weight up, right? Now, Nolan, let me ask you, do you think if you stood on that chair that it would hold you up? Okay. Now, is it holding you up? No, why not? Because I'm not standing on it. See, he's a genius. See? All right? So, it's one thing to look at it and say, yeah, I believe that'll hold me up. It's another thing to trust it and actually stand on it. Now, do you think that both of those, if you put one foot on one and the other foot on the other, do you think both of those together would hold you up? Yes. Okay. So go and trust it and step up there and do it. Okay. All right. Did it work?
Yes.
All right. Okay. Let's give Nolan a round of applause. Stay right there. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to step back down again. And I am going to move this over here, and I'm going to move this over here. Now, what I want you to do is I want you to stand just as you did before, one foot on one and one foot on the other. Go for it. Do you think it's possible?
No.
Why not? Yeah, your legs aren't long enough. And even my brother, who is 6'11", his legs are gigantic. His legs wouldn't even be far enough. It's impossible to trust this one and this one at the same time. You have to choose one, right? Okay, so choose one. All right, good job. Now, you've made a choice. Didn't matter which one it was, but you had to choose one or the other,
yes.
Right? Because those two are so far apart. All right, thank you, Nolan. Everyone, let's give Nolan a round of applause one more time. See, here's the thing. If we say those two chairs represent God and money or mammon, we put our trust in those. For our needs being met, for our happiness, for our value, for all these things. What we think is that those two can stand side by side. But that's not what Jesus says, does he? He says no one can serve both of them because they are so opposed to one another. Both of them demand 100% trust so that you will love the one and hate the other. So you'll serve and despise. See, we can't straddle in this issue of our treasures and storing up. We can't straddle and say, I will serve both God and money. We may think we can, but in doing so, we are actually only serving mammon, because God demands 100% of our allegiance. We cannot serve both God and money. We must choose which one we will trust. Second thought. Realize that your treasure reveals your heart. Verses 19 to 21, back to the beginning of this passage, says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourself treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Sometimes it's hard for us to really understand or to discern or to figure out which one of these we are trusting. So how do we really know? Jesus said that the simplest test for us to be able to see where who we trust, where our trust is put, is to evaluate where we are storing up our treasure. Because where our treasure is, that's where our heart, that's where our trust is. Jesus gives two options. We can store up our treasures on earth, wherein we lean into accumulating money, accumulating wealth, accumulating possessions for the sake of them making us happy. See, storing up treasures on earth is about storing them up and using them for us. We see them for ourselves, and therefore we want more and more, because in order to be satisfied, in order to have our value met, we always need more if we're using them for us. As a result, we rarely give to others, and we feel good or bad about ourselves based upon how much we have in comparison to those around us. If we store up our treasures on earth, we can see it as who we are using it for. We will use it for ourselves. Jesus gives the other option. We store up our treasures on earth, where we lean into using our money, using our wealth, using our possessions for the sake of God's kingdom and for the good of others. This is not to negate the meeting of our own needs. Once we have met our needs for life, we then use everything for the investment of those things into eternal things. Things like the salvation of people, things like the meeting of their needs, anything that's going to advance God's kingdom. In the packet for the children, the adults, you got one of these, and I'll talk about these in a moment, these faith promise things. Well, there's a children's version, and so the children have a version of this faith promise in their packets. And on the back, I think it's very helpful for us. It asks, what is a faith promise? It says, you can serve God by giving to missions, which helps others know Jesus in your community and around the world. When you make a faith promise to give and ask God to help you keep it, this is a faith promise. Now, it then gives a little graphic. It says, how could you spend your money? Here is from a child's perspective to help them, but it helps adults as well understand storing up treasures on earth compared to treasures in heaven. It says, how could you spend your money? You could spend it on a gumball or on things like pencils, learning supplies. Both would cost about 25 cents a month. One will buy you something. The other will be used to buy kids who don't have those learning supplies something. It's the difference between storing up treasures on earth, me, versus in heaven, others. Second way, you could buy a matchbox car with a dollar, or for a dollar, you could buy a Bible. Storing up treasures on earth would be a matchbox car for me, or giving a dollar so that a child somewhere who does not have a copy of God's word would be able to have a Bible. It's storing up a treasure in heaven because it's giving them the opportunity to know Christ. Lastly, for $5, you could buy a stuffed animal, or for $5, you could help in the translation of a Bible into a language that doesn't already have it, so that people who have never been able to read God's word would be able to hear and read it themselves. One is about me and what I can have. The other is about helping others. Now, this is not to say that you can never have something for yourself. But this is just saying, if you use everything for yourself and rarely think about using it for the sake of God's kingdom and for others, you're storing up treasures on earth instead of treasures in heaven. Jesus says, just think about it. Treasures on earth, moth eats holes in clothes, rust destroys even priceless, costly metals, and thieves can break into your house and steal your earthly stuff. But in heaven, moth and rust, they won't destroy your stuff. And a thief will never be able to break in and steal when our treasure is stored up in heaven. So if you want to know who you trust, if you want to try to understand which one is your master, look at what you invest yourself in. Is it earth and things for me? Or with my needs met, am I storing up treasure in heaven by giving to others so others might know of the goodness of God? Store up treasures in heaven. Lastly, live generously toward God and others. Live generously toward God and others. Jesus speaks practically on how to live this out. Verses 22 and 23, he says, "The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness?" Now, this may seem kind of confusing. Jesus talks about treasures in heaven. Then he speaks about eyes and light. And then he speaks about God and money. He goes from a treasure money topic to eyes in your body back to a money topic. And it seems like, Jesus, you got kind of ADD for a second there and jumped around. But he didn't. Because there's a meaning in the original language that the original hearers who were hearing the Sermon on the Mount would have got that we may struggle to get a little bit. When Jesus says, if your eyes are good, those original hearers, those people who were sitting on the mountainside listening to Jesus' sermon, would have heard him say, if your eyes are single, which has the meaning of generous, open-hearted, or warm. So what Jesus is saying, if your eyes, if your vision for life is one of generosity, one of open-heartedness, one of warmth, then you are going to live in light in this metaphor. You are going to be able to see brightly around you. You're going to be able to live in the light of God. Conversely, he says, if your eyes are bad, he's saying, if you are miserly, or what that means is if you are a person who is not into sharing, then you are living in darkness. And if you're living in darkness, how deep is your darkness? Jesus is saying that if we are trusting or serving God, we will live in a generous, giving way with him and others with our wealth and our possessions. See, the person who stores up their treasure in heaven, the person who trusts fully in God says all of this stuff, it's God's. The person who is living for treasures on earth, who is trusting or serving money or mammon, will not want to give and share as readily, and they will say, all of this stuff, it's mine. It's all the direction that we live. So let me talk to you just for a few moments about how this has worked out in our family, in our individual lives. So there's a phrase that many different people all over the world have used. It's not necessarily biblical, but it has a biblical anchoring to it. And it's this phrase that kind of guides us as we think about living generously toward God and others. It's this: live simply so that others can simply live. Okay? Live simply so that others can simply live. What this means for us as we've adopted this kind of phrase is we want to use to the best of our ability our wealth and possessions for what we need and less for what we want so that others who don't have as much physically and ultimately spiritually can have. What it means is we are willing to give and to live at less so that others who don't have enough physically and most importantly spiritually have the opportunity to live. Now I'll tell you, a little over 3 years ago before we moved here and we lived in a little town in north central Pennsylvania, where you had to drive 25 miles, 30 minutes to get to Walmart, where there was only a handful of restaurants, where you didn't have opportunity to do a lot, I'll tell you this, it was a lot easier to live simply. Because if you don't have a lot of opportunities in front of you, if your children don't have many opportunities through school afforded to them, it's a lot easier to live simply because you just don't have the options there to spend your money on. It has been a lot harder for us to live according to this, and we have had to wrestle hard with how do you live in a land of so much opportunity, so many good things? How do you say yes to some things and no to others so that we still live generously toward God and others by living more simply here so that we can allow others to simply live? I'll tell you, it's been a journey for us, and by no means in having this phrase that kind of gives us a direction to live have we got this figured out, because we do not have this figured out. We're learning about this more and more. But the point remains, where we entrust ourselves will be what we store our treasures up for and what we use our money, our wealth, our possessions for. If we entrust ourselves to God, we will store up our treasure in heaven and we will live generously for the sake of God and others. When we struggle more on this area, we will entrust ourselves more to the God of money to find our value, our significance, all those things, our happiness, which will cause us to use it more for things on earth for us and less generously for God and for others. And so how does this look? Well, I believe there are some practical ways that we can live it out. For you, it probably is looking at the ways that you use your money first. And what does it say about what you value, what you are trusting in? Is it God or is it money? Where are you investing yourself? Here on this earth or for the sake of eternity? It may mean cutting back on some stuff. It may mean sacrifices. It may mean going without in areas. It may mean things that everyone around us just views as normal and right and are not the normal and right anymore. allow the Lord to speak to you. In no way am I your voice. It's the voice of the Lord. And that's where we find what we want, what we should do. And as there is those things less used here, it allows us to be more generous toward God and others, so that you might give more to the mission of your local church, so that you might give more to things like the Great Commission Fund, so that children and adults all over the world would be able to hear the good news of Jesus. When Eric and Vicky were here for our missions conference on Saturday night, they did an illustration that just blew my mind. They got a box of 1,000 goldfish, and they had hidden in that box of 1,000 goldfish one red goldfish. And it was poured out in a bowl. And it took 20, 30 seconds to pour all of those out, shake them out to the last one. And it was a giant bowl of 1,000 goldfish. And there was no way you could see that thing come out. And you had to dig around to find it, to find that one. And then they made this point. Do that 10 times, but still only one red goldfish. So that now there were 10,000 goldfish and one red goldfish. And they said, this, for a person in the country that they lived in and are ministering in Western Africa, a person who wanted to find out about Jesus would have to talk to 10,000 people before anyone had even heard the name of Jesus and was a believer in him. He did a little thing, and he looked just in our area, and within about a 20-minute drive, you could get easily, actually, I think it was more like 15 minutes, you could get easily to 35 churches where people would be able to tell you about Jesus. And that was, and he stopped counting before he even got to the end of them. The point is this. There are people all over the world, as well as people right here, who have never heard the name of Jesus. And so our giving here helps to fund the mission of God, and our giving to missions helps people like Eric and Vicky be able to make it so that there's more red goldfish in that, in those boxes. More people who know about Christ. And even be able to fund local ministries and use your funds, use your life, use your resources, time, and gifts to personally invest in the lives of people in need, the homeless, taking someone out to dinner as you minister to them. The point is using it less for me and using it more for the sake of God's kingdom and for the sake of others. And using this kind of phrase to be able to live generously toward God and others, living simply so others can live. One of the things that we've done is we have, over the years, taken on over time 3 different Compassion International children. If you're not familiar with Compassion International, it's a ministry that its intention and its mission is to release children from poverty in Jesus' name. And so they're all over the world in various places doing things like giving food, giving education, giving health care to children and families where the families do not have enough to be able to supply their needs. And in the midst of meeting all these needs, they teach them about Jesus. And it's been a joy to be able to get these children one at a time over time. And it's now $38 a month. $38 a month to sponsor one child, to have food to eat, health care, education, but most importantly, to hear about Christ. And it's been amazing to read letters back and forth and to hear their growth, to see their pictures, to see them grow stronger and healthier, and to hear about their love for Christ growing. To the point now where one of our children, whose name is Wichawat, that's got to be one of the best names you could ever have, right? You could just say that all day, Wichawat. Wichawat lives in Thailand. And we've had him for a number of years as one of our sponsor children. And recently we got notice that Wichawat no longer needed this care. Because through opportunities that we've had to help his family, his family has now been able to move out of poverty, to be self-sufficient, and they are no longer in need of Wichawat having our sponsorship. I look at that as having had a hand in helping a child be released from poverty in Jesus' name, physically and spiritually. As we did that, along the years, we would have times where we'd just have rice and beans for dinner to cut back on what it cost to feed our family, and so that our kids could feel a little bit of the hunger pains that those children who just eat rice and beans have. And so I don't know what it looks like for you. These are some of the things that it's looked like for us. But ultimately, storing up our treasures in heaven is a heart issue. It's about who we trust first. Do we trust God or do we trust money? For where our treasure is, there our heart will be also. So that we might live generously toward God and his kingdom and for the good of others, physically, but most importantly, spiritually. So may the Lord use us to be generous people, people whose hearts are given to the Lord first, who trust him, so that his kingdom might come even through our money in the way that we use it, so his kingdom might come here to this earth and his will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Amen? Amen. Let me pray for us. The worship team will come and will lead us in a closing song. Father, first and foremost, we thank you, especially here at Thanksgiving time, we thank you for the ways in which you blessed us. Father, even those who struggle, many of them are more well off than others in some of the nations around the world. Father, we still ask that those who struggle would have all that they need here, as well as around the world. But Father, I thank you for the ways you blessed us. I thank you for the ways that you poured out your good gifts. I pray that you would use us as your people, the caretakers of your wealth, of your possessions, of your money here on this earth, to fund your mission well, here in our local church, to the ends of the earth, and in our region around. Father, may our trust first and foremost be in you, for you are worthy. You're the one who meets our needs. You're the one who makes us satisfied. And you're the one who gives us value. May we find it in you and in nothing else. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you would please rise and join us in our closing song of worship together this morning.
God who gives. He gives us many good gifts, but he gave us the greatest gift, his son Jesus on the cross. And so may we see him as the one who is the giver of all good gifts. And may we trust him. May the Lord bless you with trust. Trust in him alone. May your treasures not be on this earth, but may they be in heaven. May the Lord use you to be generous to him, his work, and for the good of others around you. May the Lord bless you in that way. And may this Thanksgiving, may you be able to reflect in new and in fresh ways on the goodness of God, on his love for you in Christ, demonstrated perfectly at the cross. Go rejoicing and go in his peace. Amen.